Every month, we get a poem from KUOW literary producer and state poet laureate Elizabeth Austin. Great to see you again, Elizabeth. And who did you bring in today?
I brought you a poem, Marcy, by Quentin Baker. He's a local poet and former hip-hop artist whose first chapbook, Diglossic in the Second America, was just published.
Diglossic?
Yeah, I'll admit I had to look it up. It essentially means using two different versions of a language for different social situations. One of Quentin's main subjects is race. His mother's white and his father's black. And all of the poems in this new book, in one way or another, are dealing with language, identity, and the racialized rifts in American society and institutions.
Interesting. So how does the poem you brought in today do that?
This poem is called Corner Store and Back Again. And it's looking at that black-white binary from the complicating perspective of chronic depression. So here's Quentin setting up the poem for us.
There's something about trying to navigate a mental health issue while in a racialized body. You don't get the latitude because your subjectivity, yourself is denied. There are a lot of things that aren't available to you. You know, being ill, being mentally ill is one of them. It's very hard. Like a lot of people of color with mental illness are vastly overrepresented in the prison system, for instance. But this poem is about navigating that, but then also sort of how even when you're just trying to do the best that you can and live, you're trapped in your own head and you're struggling. And then sometimes all of these racial things you're dealing with get injected suddenly. And what do you do? How do you stay in that space? And also this tension between kind of wanting to hurt yourself and then suddenly wanting to keep yourself alive, because that's sort of at the base of every person of color dealing with white supremacy is survival instinct, which is something that mental illness can erode. So, corner store and back again. I wake up well enough to wash dishes, use my fingers for something new besides knitting disease. Fingernails bathe and break in blood-warm water. Afterward, I walk to the corner store for a re-up. Ain't no medication like self-medication, cause self-medication don't stop. On the way back, 17 steps in front of my dishpan body, a screech, a honk, the silence, a fast-moving metal in the wrong place. A chronic depression gray Volvo brutalizes itself against a tree, sent there by a red light runner, no doubt in the most important of hurries. Some poor white lady pushed through the windshield, frozen like God pressed pause on Law and Order. Cell phones flip and slide, fingers swipe themselves toward 911. White faces crowd around the gap-toothed wreck. Gathering is their shaman maneuver. I dip. My shaman maneuver. Brown bag held with two for safety, slide past the huddled, the gawking, the helpful, hearing my mama's voice. Boy, you know better than to be around when the police show up. I feel like for picking right now to not forget. So I pray for that white lady's blood jumping down into the radiator.
Wow, that was a quite intense poem. Quentin Baker reading Corner Store and Back Again. It's from his new and first chapbook, Diglossic in the Second America. Elizabeth Austin, this is, I think, maybe a grittier poem than we normally hear from you. A very hard and very personal explanation, and just from the gut.
I think so, too. It's part of what drew me to this poem and to Quentin Baker's work. And when I asked Quentin about this poem, he talked about writing in response to this racialized environment and how that affects his choices as a writer. Here he is.
Yeah, I think it's important for me in my work to racialize white people as much as black people.
Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, race is often seen as the burden of the darker person, whether we're talking about Latino or Latin people, we're talking about black people, we're talking about Asian immigrants, whoever is in a discussion, whoever the non-white person is, that's who's made to carry the conversation about race. But the reality is, you know, lots of people talk about this. James Baldwin, perhaps most eloquently, black only exists in relation to whiteness. And whiteness needs and has always needed blackness to exist. It's needed some sort of other to exist as the default and as the norm. So while it's very hard for a black person to go through life with no understanding of race, because there is a spear in their chest, it is easy for the white person to not recognize that they are the spear, that whiteness is the spear. And it's not, you know, on an individual basis. People often recoil when they hear things like that. Well, I'm not racist, I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, yeah, it's fine, because racism isn't in individuals, it's in systems. And the question is, how well can you recognize the shape of them? Because every person of color can recognize it, because the sharp end is aimed at them. So I try to draw that racial shape around whiteness as well. You know, for me, honestly, it's in the interest of accuracy. I'm very anal about that. I want to be accurate as possible. And it's impossible for me to accurately discuss my experience with race in this country if I'm not talking about racialized whiteness as well.
That's fascinating, a perspective I don't think I've heard put quite that way.
That's why I wanted to bring in Quentin's work, Marcy. He's doing exactly what I hope poems will do, what I need poems to do, making me think and feel in increasingly complicated ways about who we are as humans and how we interact with each other. Marcy, also, I've posted a second poem from Quentin on our website at kuow.org. It's the title poem, Diglossic in the Second America, and it deals head-on with that idea of two languages that we talked about at the top of the segment. I think it's terrific, and I hope you'll give it a listen.
Well, I look forward to it. Elizabeth Austin, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Marcy.